Thank you, Tasha. What great words. Oh, it's a wonderful song, that psalm, but the truths are so powerful. And in this song that I'm going to be preaching on, those truths come out in a mighty way, and it's wonderful. By the way, it's good to be back. I was last weekend in the Dominican Republic, actually, so Santo Domingo, the capital city there. And no, it wasn't anything like vacation, being on the beach, and it's kind of my lot in life, you know. I mean, it's a long, long story how I got to be a kind of a kettlebell expert, but anyway, I went down there to put on this kettlebell certification course. So, you know, I basically was in a warehouse, un-air-conditioned, no air conditioning, tropical 90-plus degree heat, sweating my little fanny off for 8-9 hours, both Saturday and Sunday. Couldn't drink enough water, couldn't drink enough Gatorade, but had a lot of fun nonetheless. It was a wonderful group of people, and it's something I greatly enjoy. It's kind of my side hobby. But it was very good to be back, and is very good to be back with you all. Anyway, so that's where I was. Lost my voice, by the way, too, because in this warehouse, no air conditioning, they had these enormous fans, and so I had 17 people that I'm trying to shout above the fans all these instructions. And anyway, so I'm singing bass this morning. All right, so I'm continuing in a sermon series on how we should speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and how our language should be seasoned with both the Word of God, but the Word of God especially as it comes through these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And, you know, I got to say, too, the worship music this morning was just fabulous. And it was just hitting so many of the points from this morning's sermon. And what I would hope too is, as I am preaching on these songs and hymns, that what it's doing is helping to awaken in all of us a renewed consciousness in what the message is behind these songs and psalms. So as we sing and as we worship, that we can really go deeper into the lyrics, go deeper into the words, and allow them to really just penetrate our heart, and let worship just erupt from our hearts. So this song, by the way, that I'm preaching on, a song by a group called Rend Collective, a rather new group to my knowledge, but boldly I approach, and the words are printed in your bulletin. The lyrics are powerful and very scriptural, and you can see that I've put in a lot of the reference verses, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, really. The words are just dripping with biblical truths. An amazing song that also gets at and touches upon some of the deepest theological themes about grace and redemption and love, but also some of our deepest struggles, specifically this assault on our identity. And so kind of like I was explaining to the kids, it's kind of like Cinderella. And oftentimes, you know, here she was, and really she had been the child of a nobleman, if you remember the story, and so had noble birth, but was so beaten down and treated like a servant or even a slave. And so many times that, despite our identity, we have an identity in Christ that we are of nobility. How often are we beaten down? And that identity, the devil would love nothing more than to cloak that identity from us and convince us that we are nothing, that we are worthless, and try and just fill our hearts and minds with condemnation, and even to the point of despair. And this song really gets at that. So let's just get into it. Verse 1, right there, I love it. By grace alone, somehow I stand. It's a wonderful testament to God's grace, his redeeming love, and his call for us to draw near to his throne. This past year, I did a whole series on the book of Ephesians, and so some of you would remember that in chapter 1, you see in Ephesians what our true identity is in Christ, for those who are in Christ. And it's powerful. Listen to this. This is straight from Ephesians 1. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You are chosen to be holy and blameless in God's sight. In love, you've been predestined and adopted as his children. All this, which is by God's grace, which he lavishes upon you. You've been redeemed through Jesus' blood, and your sins have all been forgiven. Your sins have all been forgiven. He has given us insight and understanding into the mystery of his will. And this occurred when we were included in Christ, which is when we heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. Having believed, we were marked with a seal, which is his Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee, the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the time of redemption. This is your identity in Christ. And so as adopted children, lavished by his grace, you are princes and princesses. It's beautiful. All this by grace. And it's only by God's grace that we stand. This was not as a result of anything that we could have done or did do. It's not based on our merit. Well, I'm such a good person, aren't I? Don't I deserve all that? Oh, heavens, no. And yet, by his grace, his unmerited favor, this is who you are if you are in Christ Jesus. And so, right away, by grace alone, somehow I stand. It's incomparable almost. It's amazing. This is why it's so amazing, this grace. It's mysterious. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. But by grace, somehow I stand where even angels fear to tread. His presence, in his presence, it is awesome. Even angels and the saints, they're bowing down, casting down their crowns before him. It's an awesome scene when you read in Revelation what heaven is like. By grace, somehow I stand where even angels fear to tread. Invited by his redeeming love, his love has redeemed me, has rescued me, pulled me out of this slavery. Remember the prodigal son story and where the prodigal son ended up? Here he was on somebody's farm feeding pigs and wishing that he could even just eat what he was feeding to the pigs. He was so hungry. His sin had so debased him, had so brought him to such a horrifically low level. It was pathetic. And yet, it is this redeeming love. He was redeemed. He was pulled out of that condition of just servitude, debased servitude, by the love of his Father. He was pulled back into the loving arms of his Father. Before the throne of God above, he pulls me close with nail-scarred hands into his everlasting arms. And you can just see that scene of that father embracing his prodigal son. And that's the idea. But it's Jesus himself pulling us close with his nail-scarred hands. And then verse 2, when condemnation grips my heart and Satan tempts me to despair. I read of a wonderful example, you know, that a pastor had preached that the devil and his minions are wonderful videographers, taking video footage, you know, and they're like, what's it called, paparazzis, what's that term, Paparazzis. Yeah, not Pavarazzis, okay, paparazzis. And they are there waiting for us to do something sinful, something shameful, something awful, and then boom, they got it all on tape. And what do they do with that tape? They just keep replaying it in your mind. Over and over, they keep replaying that tape. And just with the effect of just shame, 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 their strategy is condemnation. What they want is to make you feel condemned and to even pull you into that despair and that condemnation. And yet, the result of Jesus' blood is that it washes that tape, washes over the tape, and erases the tape. So that now, especially up in heaven, that tape rolls and nothing. There is no more, no condemning evidence against you. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. That is the truth. And so there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is the gospel truth. And then he says, and so when condemnation grips my heart and Satan tempts me to despair, I hear the voice that scatters fear. The great I am, the Lord is here. God is love, and his perfect love casts out all fear. Oh, praise the one who fights for me and shields my soul eternally. I love it. I love the way that it's described. Jesus is our bodyguard, fighting for us, shielding us eternally. He'll never give up. He will never stop being that good shepherd watching over us. And then the chorus. Boldly I approach your throne. That's based on Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16, let me read it. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Boldly I approach your throne. So I wrote down in your sermon notes those questions for you. Does anything in your heart or spirit stop you from approaching God's throne? Do you feel ashamed? Does that video footage just keep rolling and playing so you feel unworthy to approach God's throne of grace? Is there anything that is estorbándote, is the Spanish word. It's blocking you, stumbling you, keeping you from being able to approach God's throne, but with confidence. Confidence in myself because I'm such a great person? Absolutely not. My confidence is because I am in Christ and therefore I am cloaked with his righteousness. And so clothed in Christ's righteousness, I can come before the throne. It's not about my righteousness. It's all about Jesus' righteousness. And then the second question, do you approach God's throne of grace with boldness? Do you do so often? How strong is your prayer life? See, our identity in Christ is so important. If we can truly understand who we are in Christ, all of a sudden, all impediments, all barriers, all stumbling blocks are pushed away, and now we can approach God's throne freely, confidently, boldly, whenever we want, and with whatever concern. We can come before him. Boldly I approach your throne, blameless. Now I'm running home. Remember Ephesians chapter 1 says we are holy and blameless in his sight. That is our identity. God looks at us and doesn't see the sin as far as the east is from the west, so far as it has been removed. And he sees us clothed with Christ's righteousness. Boldly now, therefore, I can approach his throne and blameless now. I'm running home. By your blood I come. It's Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood has bought me out of the slavery to sin. I have been redeemed from that slavery. welcomed as your own into the arms of majesty. And then verse 3. Verse 3 is basically somebody who it is just all of a sudden the eruption of praise from a heart that is just so profoundly touched by the love, the majesty, the power of Christ. And it just can't even contain the praise. It just spills forth. It says, you hear it in that verse 3. Behold the bright and risen sun, more beauty than this world has known. I'm face to face with love himself, his perfect, spotless righteousness. 1,000 years, 1,000 tongues. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. Oh, this actually takes that and multiplies it by 1,000 years. 1,000 years, 1,000 tongues are not enough to sing his praise. So at that point, it's just bursting forth. And I love the bridge. The little bridge in the song is that extra little part. And it says, this is the art of celebration. I love that line. And I can only imagine if we came here to worship and we could understand our identity in Christ, if we walked into this sanctuary with that profound understanding of who we are in Christ, we walk in here without the shame, without any hesitation, with great confidence and boldness to come before the throne of God, clothed in righteousness and bursting with gratitude, with thankfulness. Can you imagine what our worship would be like? It would erupt with praise, erupt with just glorious words of awesome praise for his majesty, for his beauty, for his glory, for his redemption, for his great love. It would be a celebration, and it would be artful. This is the art of celebration, knowing we're free from condemnation. See, this art of celebration is literally the byproduct. It is what is produced, the fruit of this knowledge that we are free from condemnation. Do you know that this morning? Do you know that you are free from condemnation? Again, all these promises are for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so we come to him just as we are, just as I am. This is the old hymn. Just as I am. What is it? And waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to you whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I know that's Glad's version. I don't know if it's the original hymn. Just as I am, we come before him. But Klein Snodgrass would say, now, but don't think that God wants you just to remain that way. We come to him, and there is this exchange of life. This is the process of salvation. And so I come, and my life might be, and it is, pathetic, paltry. What do I have to give? God, I give you my life. And in exchange, he gives us his life, powerful and awesome as it is. And in this exchange, I receive from him literally his life, his spirit. The same spirit, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is in me, that it might work a transforming work in my life. So perish the thought we would stay the same. You don't see the prodigal son. You don't. The story doesn't finish with him saying, "All right, Dad, if you're looking for me, I'm going to be there with the slop with the pigs again, because I got used to that." Why in earth would we go back to the sin? And so we come to him just as we are. Now the danger is that we would come with no repentance. Now I like that salvation idea, God dying on the cross. Whoo, whoo, man. You demand, hey, I want the salvation thing. But I kind of like my sinful lifestyle. No. And again, why would we? We need to understand that the sin in my life, that's what's destroying me. That's what's destroying my family and everything I touch. And there's this cycle of condemnation and violence and shame, and it's just ugly. God says, in repentance, come. Repentance means willingness to do a 180 and turn away from the sin. And then the exchange of life happens, and His life in me, His Holy Spirit, doing a transforming work. And so begins this process of transformation that will never end in this life. Will I continue to sin from time to time? Certainly I will, but should I revel in it? Certainly not. That's Romans 6. Where are you at in that process? Have you made the exchange? Your life for Christ's life. And literally your life. And Jesus just said, hey, if you're not willing to deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow me, that's what it's all about. So it's my giving my life. And now Paul describes it as, now I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's Christ now living his life through me. It's quite an adventure. And now I'm living in my identity as a prince. If you're a woman, as a princess. And it is a glorious adventure. Not one that's not fraught with danger, but it's awesome. This then is the song of the redeemed. Those who have been redeemed, rescued from the pit, rescued from the slop and the pigs, rescued from the sinful lifestyle, and now are walking with Christ, keeping in step with His Spirit. When that happens, then what erupts from deep within is the song of the redeemed. And this is what it's all about. And this song so portrays it. Oh, praise the one who made an end to all my sin. I don't know if you're ready to sing it right now. We're not gonna. I'm sorry. You're gonna have to hold off. But I want to end the service by singing that, because that's what I want saturating your minds as we leave this worship place, is that understanding of our identity in Christ. We are the redeemed. This is the song of the redeemed. By grace, we stand boldly before God's throne. What an honor. What splendor. Praise be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.